just another crucifixion. I couldn't see why Caiaphas bothered to bring him to me. Time and time again, I had to settle their arguments. This man, Jesus, was brought before me. He had the charge of being called King of Jews in the service of my emperor. That could never do. Rome was to be the only king these Jews would have. As I had time before, I did my duty. I questioned him. And in my judgment, I found only a man accused by his peers. He did not fight. He did not retort the claims made about him. He stood. He spoke truth. But in this world so torn and confused, I find myself asking, what even is truth? I found no charges against him, so I returned him to his people. To satisfy his people, I brought him out, showing the grace of Caesar. My plan was to bring Jesus before them and offer to release one of their criminals, the choice I thought would be clear, the King of the Jews or a real danger to society. Why did they choose Barabbas? I had him flogged, but even then, the Sanhedrin wasn't satisfied. When I questioned Jesus again, it was then I realized I met him and it changed everything.
I met him.
I met him.
I met him.
I met him.
I met him and it changed everything.
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 Pilate is one of the most interesting characters, one of the most unique characters that we find in the passion story of Jesus. We've just entered into the month that brings us to a time when we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to celebrate what we proclaim each week, that Jesus went to the cross and gave himself for us, but that he rose again. We don't get to Sunday without remembering what happened on the days before. Leading up on that Thursday and Friday as Jesus is having a meal with his fellow, with his disciples, with his friends. As Jesus goes and he lets them know what's going to be happening, he institutes this meal that we share with them each week, and Jesus goes and he prays in the garden, and he's arrested and he's put before a trial of the religious leaders, and the religious leaders take him before Pilate. And we get this story, and we get this meeting. And for Pilate, this meeting might not have changed his faith, but I'll guarantee you it changed his life. From what we know, Pilate was a man who had seen hard times and come through them as a champion. He was a man of the sword, a soldier. Pilate was brought up through the ranks, through his tenacity on the battlefield, and he was constantly moving toward the front until he found himself the precept of a Roman government, a sit-in ruler for the crown of Caesar. He governed over the regions of Judea and Samaria, which happened to be where God's people had taken up residence. Over the promised land, they were under a punishing precept. And in Scripture, we meet Pilate, and we see that his power had been stripped time and time again by the people that he was ruling over. He had been humbled by his position, and because of his hostility in governing, riot upon riot, and unrest had threatened his position to the point where he was operating on a razor's edge by the time the Jewish leaders marched Jesus before him, commanding a verdict of death. If you have your Bibles, we begin today in the book of John, the 18th chapter. And in the 28th verse, it says, Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to go eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "I am a Jew." "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born was to come into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." What is truth? What is truth? Pilate retorted. It's the focus of what we're going to talk about today. It's the question that we find ourselves in. And I want us to notice as we come to this question of what is truth, we see that from the beginning, there's a problem here. Because the Jewish leaders had Jesus right where they wanted him. And they had the opportunity to question Jesus and to ask these same questions that Pilate did of what is truth, who are you? But instead of discerning truth for themselves, the religious leaders of the time handed over to the government for them to decide what truth was going to be. And I think that's a real danger. That's a real danger when we say we're going to put aside God's truth and allow those governing over us to decide for us what truth is. And there is one source of truth, folks. This conversation is held in the midst of the climax of the gospel, at the pinnacle of Jesus' plan for why the Word became flesh. This is at the brink of the basis of our faith that Pilate begins to question Christ. What is truth? Truth. The question is for each of us today, and it will change everything on how you answer that. Pilate was so concerned with the political questions of Jesus' claim to be who he was that he missed the essential essence of the entity that was standing right before him. If Pilate would have heard what Jesus had just said nights before in conversations with his disciples that were handed down in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answers his disciples' concerns with love and compassion when he looks at them and says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We soon find out that Pilate was not concerned with real truth. Time and time again, he finds the truth that Jesus is innocent. But time and time again, he bends to the will of his political prowess. Three times, Pilate declares that Jesus is innocent. Four times, Pilate tries to pass off the decision to other people to truly discern what will be done. He has truth standing right before him. It's an interesting pattern that Pilate goes through. Pilate goes to Jesus, and he asks this question, what is truth? Jesus is standing before him. What is truth? Pilate sees in this moment just a glimpse of what the truth is, because Pilate marches out and says, I find no fault with this man. He goes to the people, and Pilate asks them and tests them, takes a poll of if the truth works for the people. When the answer comes back no, Pilate goes in and he questions again. He goes in and he asks again, see if the truth could be bent a little bit. See if the truth could just take a little bit of the edge off. But Pilate doesn't allow the truth to change his heart. So what Pilate does is Pilate decides to flog Jesus. He tries to mend, to mash, and to mangle the truth to see if that truth will look more pleasing to the people. To see if his constituents could stomach this mangled truth, this bent and bruised. He goes up and he finds that before him they were not willing to stomach any form of what truth truly is, of who Jesus Christ truly is. So Pilate ends up sacrificing the truth for his power and control. He washes his hands, says it wasn't my fault, sends Jesus away to be crucified. We face one of the biggest questions in history still today. It's the question that was asked by Pilate when he was face to face with Jesus. In the midst of questioning, in the midst of pushing Jesus, finding out if the claims made by the Jewish leaders had any basis for condemnation, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? How often do we take the time to ask that in our world today? Our world is battling with this idea of what truth looks like. We search for truth while discounting anything that claims to be true outside of our comfort zone. We have an account of truth. We have the way, the truth, and the life. Are you going to accept the truth? It's handed down to us through divine breath, yet what's been written by those inspired by God has been discounted by the world because of feelings. Reminds me of a story that I heard just the other day about a young man going in to write his doctoral thesis. The man begins to write, and he's making these swooping claims about the truth of the world. As he wrote his paper, besides these facts, he would write down the footnotes. And as his professor proofread for him the paper that he had written, he would look down and he'd find one of these footnotes, and he'd go to the bottom of it, and he would say, "As the mailman told me last week." He would go a little bit further, thinking, that's odd, that's strange. And he would go and he'd find another footnote after this sweeping claim about the truths of the world, and it would say, "As told to me by the waitress that served me my burger yesterday morning." And the professor went to this young student and he said, Why are you doing this? This is the most important paper of your life. Why are you discounting? Why are you going off of such flimsy footnotes?" The young man looked at his professor, said, "What makes you think that just because something's been written down in a document, it holds any more truth than what's said by these men and women?" The panel reviewed the young man's paper. They brought him in, and he stood before these renowned professors, these renowned doctors that he was handing over his work to. And they looked at him and they said, "We want to let you know that you will be receiving your PhD. We are awarding you your PhD, but it's not going to be written down. You'll just have to take her word for it." It makes us chuckle. It makes us laugh. But how many in the world today are taking a discounted version of the truth? Are taking a mended and mashed up and beaten form of the truth when God gives it to us? When Jesus comes down, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For Pilate, he lived a life said, "Whoever has the bigger sword gets to define what truth is for the day." Jesus came down and he gives a parallel to what Pilate had grown up knowing. Jesus took the sword. Jesus took the punishment. Jesus took the sacrifice for our sins. The truth was the one that set the world free. For the Roman governors, for more and more of the world today, the category of truth was determined by the majority vote. On whether or not an item would propel their personal agenda. To get to truth, you must go through the source of truth. When you search for truth, you will meet Jesus. And when we meet him, it changes everything. Will you pray with me today? God, as we come before you, as we look at the way that Pilate lived, the way that he discerned truth, God, let us not be wavered by ideals and by majorities that discount what you have given us, God. Help us to know the truth. Help us to recognize that you are the truth. God, we praise you for the way that you work throughout history, even when it seems like you have no control. We see that, God, you are in control. Even when you are being sentenced, we see that you are working so that we can have life with you. Lord, help us to seek out truth. Help us to seek out you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.